Please be seated. What a blessing to be here this afternoon, this morning, whichever one. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to always be invited to be present. Though we are friends, I don't take Apostle for granted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And earlier on, I told him that I want a proper relationship, not just here, you're a pastor, I'm a pastor. No. So between us, there's no formality, there's no protocol.
Amen.
Good. So once again, thank you, Apostle, for the invite. Jean Patrick, thank you for making it and coming as you were sharing some of the things. I was also learning more about being a true son. You know, sometimes you are children, but some of the children have a little bit of rebellious
tendency.
Some of the children are very obedient. As you were speaking, I realized that. But everything he said is so true. I said, everything he said is so true. Yeah. And we thank God for the life of our father, Bishop Doug. Amen.
Bishop Doug.
Well, I was supposed to have been, I think you can record now. I was supposed to have been at a conference in Bush Park Ridge today. But I couldn't go, so I need to say to Evangelist Fortune Mohala, is it Mohala, and the servants of God in attendance, my apology for not being able to make it because I have a double booking. Please forgive me. And I'll make it up to you by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I think we can end. Good. So I'm told that people are sensitive. You know, and if you think you are sensitive, wait until you meet pastors. Because when I was told that I need to send a clip to apologize, I said, what do you mean? If I can come. Because as far as I was concerned, I said it way earlier that I won't make it. But then just as the conference was on, I was asked to send a message because I was told that the people here are
sensitive.
My initial reaction was, look, I won't do it. If I don't have to go, I won't go. I have enough work to do for myself. But then upon second thought, I said, let me just do as you are told to do, because a servant is not inconvenienced. Amen.
Amen.
Because you don't know where the Lord will bless you. And then you don't know where the Lord will choose to bless you. So don't spoil places because you don't think you need it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anyway, it's a blessing to be here once again. You know, I just felt in my spirit as we were listening to the message that we should pray for understanding hearts. And we should pray for a heart that receives the seed of the word. That is so. We should pray that our heart would be a good ground. You see, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus told a parable, and we titled it the parable of the sower, where he said a sower went out to sow. Now he described four different landing places for the seed. The roadside, the rocky ground, and the good ground but with thorns, and then the good ground. Now I realized that depending on what subject is being discussed, a good ground can easily be a roadside ground. I don't know if you understand. You see, in our minds, as the parable was spoken, we have four categories of different places. And thinking they are at different places. But sometimes the same place can change from one ground to another, depending on the subject. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I just felt in my spirit that as the message has come, we receive it onto a good ground heart so that it will bear fruit to the glory of God in our life. Let's rise to our feet and pray. Let's pray. Lord, help me. Let my heart be a good ground. Let my heart not be a roadside ground. Let my heart not be a rocky ground. Let there be no thistles and thorns that choke the word that has been sown in my heart. But let my heart be a good ground in this subject of the anointing. Let me be a fertile ground, a ground that receives this seed, this particular seed in relation to your anointing that is being sown, and water it with your spirit, Lord, that it will bring forth much fruit to your glory, that I shall walk in the anointing that is in the heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise for this opportunity to have our hearts become a ground into which good seeds are being sown. Seeds that relates to the anointing, since that relates to the working of your spirit in our lives. Whatever steps, whatever is needed to be taken, we pray that we shall take it to your glory. We shall walk in it and be able to function in the anointing that is prepared for our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit, help us. We rebuke every demonic idea and every demonic manipulation and adjustments and suggestions that turns our heart into a roadside heart. We refuse it. We refuse it. We reject it. And our hearts are open. Our spirits are wide open to receive your word as your word and not as the word of a man. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. You know, sometimes we think we are following until the subject changes. Do you get it? Until the subject changes, and many cease to be followers. A classical example is found in the book of John, chapter 6. You see, when Jesus said they have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, the Bible says, from that time, at that church service, at that topic, they were called many of his disciples. Please look for it for me, John chapter 6, verse 41.
You
say, but from that
time,
from it, there was a particular, they were followers. No, it's scary.
Yeah,
you know, as I'm speaking now, I'm even getting scared how people can easily be brushed off.
Is
it? Then the Jews complained. Is it King James? Because he said, I'm the bread that came from heaven. Let's go. Keep moving. Let's
read.
Please, whoever is doing the thing, let's go. I thought you were 41.
John
6:66.
John.
Okay. Now some people don't read their Bible, so this is a chance for us to just increase their average verse per day. You know, because most Christians today don't read the Bible. So I don't mind at all having to read a few verses over and above where I want. Do you get it? Yeah, it's a good thing.
This was
a
good.
He said, from that time, many of his enemies, from that time, can you, there's no, okay, you can see the screen here. Okay. He said, from that time, many, not a few, many, not his enemies, his disciples went back and walked with him no more. I mean, if they had missed that church service, they could still have been around. But you see, the particular subject, the particular message, is what they couldn't handle. Can I ask you a question? Which of the disciples, apostles, John, Peter, James, and all, which of them eat Jesus' flesh? But I thought Jesus said, except you eat my flesh. Jesus said,
tell
you,
Lige, Meloa,
can you do my disciple?
But which of them eat?
I mean, is there any record that when Jesus was crucified, they brought him down and they cut his portion, and then they got a bit of the blood? Which of them eat it? But you see, the message had the ability to reduce their privilege of being disciples of Jesus.
Because,
you see, the Bible, the verse describes them as disciples. The verse describes them as disciples, which means that they had demonstrated something to that effect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I'm saying all these things because, you know, sometimes when you teach people truth, for whatever reason, depending on the setup of their mind, the truth that will be a blessing to them becomes the stones in their mouth that they are not able to chew, and they reject it, and in the process they reject everything that is meant for their
heart.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, Bishop Patrick has just taught us about the importance of the anointing and the steps that, you know, he mentioned that one of the easiest ways to receive the anointing is by inheritance, which actually is true. And in my opinion, is the easiest way, and is the one that is readily available to many people. You know why? You see, the decision to be a Moses, the decision to be an Elijah, are you with me? Is entirely God. The decision to be a Jeremiah is entirely God. But the decision to be a servant of Elijah, everybody has an opportunity. You see, because Not everybody. You see, God is the one that is building his church. We are not building his church for him. He is building his church. So I try to avoid the word I work for God and prefer to use the term God works with me. So God is the one working and I am the tool in his hands. It's not like God is sitting somewhere and we are working on the work, Babunde job. No. God is the one
actually.
And that's what Hebrews said, that every house is builded by somebody, but the builder of all is God. Are you with me? Now, the decision as to who to be pillar, it's entirely God, because he knows what he has put in
whom.
Like he said to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew thee, and I have ordained thee a prophet. Are you with me? So he knows what he's doing and knows who he has called for a particular pillar, for a particular portion of his work that he's doing. Yet, he also knows that the work that he would do through one person is bigger than one person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The work that you do through one person is bigger than one person. And it will always involve that person, and his children. That person and the people that are connected to him in a way. So you may not have been chosen as a Moses, but you have a chance of being an Aaron. You have a chance of being a
Miriam.
You have a chance of being a Korah. You have a chance of being one of the many tribes. That chance is open to everybody. Because as to the Moses, that's not your decision. But to be in a Joshua to Moses, it can be your decision if you decide. And you see, these teachings, they come to help you to know what to do, to be part of what is being done by the Lord. You see, what I'm enjoying, what we are enjoying in the ministry now. Look, let me say something to you, and please don't be offended. I've never dreamt of being a pastor. Like, you know, when you are growing up, you sometimes want to be this, you want to be that. I've never dreamt or said I want to be a pastor. Never. Even up to today, I still have not had a dream where I want to be a pastor in the
room.
No, I'm telling you. You know how some people, when they get born again, they have a sense of calling. No, nothing. So how come I'm here? A simple decision. A simple decision. To be a son in the house. That's all. And am I blessed? Oh, more than blessed. Too much.
Good.
Yeah.
Hey.
So you see, many of us, like I'm saying, The Moses, the Elijah, the
Jeremiah,
the Isaiah.
Isaiah.
It's not none of us our call. It's the sovereign Lord's call.
Give picture of
the Abraham.
Abraham.
It's not mine. It's not Abraham's decision. It's the
Abraham.
Sovereignty of the Lord that is like you choosing you. But you see, if you have understanding, you can be, what's this man's nephew that went with him? Lot.
Lot.
Yeah. As Lot decided to go with
Abraham,
he was prospering. You see, the spirit and the blessing that is upon
Abraham
was affecting him. Yeah. It was his inability to recognize the source of his blessing that made him separate when he shouldn't separate. And he discovered that he's not the anointed.
I said,
and he discovered that he's not the anointed. Are you with me? Does it mean that he couldn't have profited from the anointing? He could have. But like Bishop Patrick explained to us, we need to be sons of the anointed. It's not human worship. It's spiritual understanding. I said, it's spiritual understanding. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But you see, it will not, this anointing will not mean anything to you. If your value system, what you value, does not need anointing. Most of us value things. We value earthly things. We value earthly things, but spiritual things, things that are of eternal value, can only be done by the eternal spirit. Eternal value things are not done by the spirit of the world. Neither is it done by the flesh. It is done by the spirit. I hope we understand what I'm saying. So what am I saying to you? Basically, what I'm saying is that understand what is being presented to you. And also see the opportunity that is present before you. And seize it. I said, and seize it. And be anointed. Oh yeah, and be anointed. Seize it and be anointed. I said, seize it and be anointed. And it will be a blessing to you. Because you see, me, when I joined the church, like any other Christian, when I got born again, okay, they say I'm born again, it's fine. Pray for Holy Ghost baptism, speaking tongues. I'm not sure whether it's even the Holy Spirit. But I kept on speaking it. Do you get it? I joined the church. I had to buy a good Bible so that I can do proper Bible study. Do you get it? I had to be part of the house because you see, when a father is in the house, remember that it's not biological family where you'll be conceived for 9 months. It's a church, it's a spiritual family, and different people are being brought in. So how well you get yourself involved will reflect how quickly you are known. Some of you who just want to come to church, you don't want to do anything, you are robbing yourself of a blessing. Because the more you are involved, whether it's the ashes, whether it's the cleaning team, whatever it is, it makes you visible. I said, it makes you visible. And somebody takes an interest in you. The people whose name I know are not people who just come for Sunday morning service. The people who I think of in my bedroom when I'm praying are not just Sunday morning attendees. Most of the Sunday morning attendees, I don't even know their names. I know their faces. I don't know their names. Are you with me? And it is your being part of something that makes you to be known. That makes you even to be brought near. That makes you to be included in the people that are selected for special development. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all these things are necessary for you, for the church to grow. But you see, for the church to grow, you must grow. I said, for the church to grow, you must grow. Oh yeah. You must grow in your influence. You must grow in the number of people that you interact with. You must grow in the number of people that depend on you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that brings me to the subject of what I want to share with you today. And that is the subject of the cross. The subject of the cross. I don't know. Yesterday, they open one of the books. I think they opened one. Is it, where is it? Do you get it? And the particular book I want to bring to your attention is the book of sacrifice, losing, suffering, and dying. It holds the key. What Bishop Patrick mentioned, you see, all of them have in them a challenge or a difficulty. Oh yes. Because you see, as you become a son in the house, become close, one of the demons that you are affecting you is the demon of familiarity, or the spirit of familiarity. All of a sudden, what looks so special to you will start looking ordinary. You have to fight it. Because without overcoming familiarity, you will not be anointed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you realize that almost all the challenges, I'm not preaching for long. You realize that almost all the challenges that you will meet on the road to be anointed. Are you with me? On your journey to be anointed. On your journey to receive the anointing to do great things in the house, or to be used by God to do great things. Almost all of them, if not all of them, are related to your flesh. They are related to your carnal nature, your fleshly nature. None of them are spiritual. It's a problem of your spirit. None of them is a problem of your spirit. Almost all of them are related. The enemy of your anointing is your fleshly nature. And the flesh is not negotiated with.
Where
is the scripture? Is it Galatians 5? Galatians 5, I just quickly want
to.
It says that the flesh would not yield. Is it Galatians 5? No, I don't want the works of the flesh. There's a verse that talks about. Good, 16. It says, then I say, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the spirit lusteth, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that
gore
no, this is not, this is not what I want.
A se ke senyakantse.
There's a verse that says
well, the that
the flesh
now
is not subject, this flesh is not subject to God and will not be subject to God. There's a come again. Is it Romans
8:7?
And it's not subject to the law of God. Good. Romans
8.
Now, please. This is not Satan's flesh.
Because
I get a feeling some of you that it's Satan's flesh. Are you with me? As a tell the person sitting by you,
please,
we are not talking about Satan's flesh. We are talking about your flesh. So let me ask you a question. What's verse
8?
But did that. Okay, yeah. But I think I'm looking for another verse. But this is fine. This was
okay.
Now, listen.
What?
If the Bible is saying that this is the situation of your flesh, does it not mean that every step for you to have the Spirit of God will be hindered by your own flesh? Your kana, your natural.
See,
because when we say flesh, I'm sure some of you are thinking of your bumps. I'm not talking about your bumps. I'm talking about your natural, your natural self. Digger, I'm talking about your natural self. So it is your natural self that stands between you. And you see, somebody that will not subject to God, do you get it? You can't negotiate with it. I said you can't negotiate with it. That is why Jesus made it a condition. That if anyone will come after him, the condition is that the person must have a cross. Not a cross for prayer meeting. But a cross for crucifixion of your flesh. And unless you are willing to do that, the anointing, you will be near to it. But you don't receive it. And even when you receive it, unless your flesh is crucified daily, the anointing will not profit you. Because remember, you are not leading this Holy Spirit. You see, the anointing, what we call anointing, is more of the manifesting works of the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, when we say he's anointed, what we are saying is that the person has the Spirit of God that is manifesting in works in the person's life. Are you with me? And the Holy Spirit is not at your beck and call. I said the Holy Spirit is not at your beck and call. So even if the Lord anoints you the Holy Spirit will not move because he is with you. He will move to instruct you. And if your flesh is standing in the way, you will resist it. And many of us have lost the opportunity to be anointed. Because listen, unfortunately, God didn't choose you to be an Abraham. But you can be an Abraham's child. You can be an Abraham's child. But for you to be an Abraham's child, you have to overcome your fleshly nature. Because even the child that you have brought up biologically can grow to a place where they start fighting you. I mean, some of you, you are a testimony of what I'm saying. You should tell me that, Pastor, I'm here. Don't sit down quietly you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you have fought with your parents. I mean, you have fought. Literally fought. Yeah, it does. You should say we are here. I'm here. I don't look at my face like what I'm saying. It's for demons in hell. It's like, Pastor, the message you are preaching is for people in hell, not here in church. Yeah, some of us have fought with our parents. Why do you think you fought with your parents? The person who brought you forth, the one who conceived you for 9 months. Why do you think you fought with them? Or which part of you was fighting? It's the flesh. So if you can fight the one who brought you into this world, how much more the one you met in church? Let's read Luke chapter 14. We start from verse 26. I'm closing. I'm just explaining to you. And please, everything that you need is written in one way or the other in a book. You see, I recommend these books to you not because they are the only books written on sacrifice. Are you with me? But because you don't like reading, your reading skills are not too good. And these books are written for people like you and me with low reading skills. And we can read it to encourage us until we develop our reading skills. Then we can read the more complicated books. You know, one day I bought a book by Bishop T.D. Jakes. I think the book is He Motions. You know, I couldn't read the book. I tried a number of times, I couldn't read it. You know why? Because almost every second or third word, I have to check the dictionary. I don't know if you understand it. I listen to his messages. But his writings, I couldn't. And it's not because I don't know how to read, but because the words he chooses to use and the way he writes, I end up reading the dictionary. Yeah, so you see, when we suggest to you to read this book, it's not because this is the only book written on sacrifice, the only book written on the cross. But there are many books, but most of the writers are not from our region, and they speak and write in a different way. And some of us who were taught English in Tswana. I mean, it's difficult to read English written by English speaking people. When your English was taught in Tswana or in Sotho. You So it is easy to read books written by somebody also who learned the English in another local language, because then they don't have a lot of high vocabulary, so they say things simple and you can read it. And secondly, the books are written in a point system, so you know where you are. Okay, so you don't have to read all the, you know, because sometimes the points are mixed with the stories. But at least these ones, the points are clear. 7 steps to being a son. These are the 13 steps to being a servant. These are the steps. These are the scriptures. You know where you are. Are you with me? So I recommend to you these books. But for this particular session, I mean, one of the books I recommend is this one. Because this will help you to understand why you must crucify your flesh. Because that is the only solution available to handling the flesh as a hindrance. Because I mean, somebody that cannot be subject to God, it will not be subject to God, and it cannot be subject to God. What else do you have other than to kill it? You have to kill it, crucify it. And you'll be ready for the anointing. I said you'll be ready for the anointing. And as for the anointing in your house, is yours. I said as for the anointing in your house, it's yours. Because I mean, I'm a living testimony, Bishop Patrick, and so many other the pastors and bishops in Lighthouse are a living testimony of how you can be anointed by being in the house. It's very simple. It's not difficult at all. It's not difficult at all. But you just have to kill the flesh. I said you have to kill the flesh. Once the flesh is dead, you are in for you are almost home.
Below.
Hallelujah. So Jesus said, and Jesus made it a requirement. And you see, the reason why he said you need your cross is that without him, you can do nothing. And what stands between you having him and not having him is your flesh. Why do you think Peter denied Jesus? Do you think he was afraid that the Romans were going to kill his spirit? I said, do you think he was afraid that the Romans were going to kill his spirit? No, he denied Jesus because what he saw happening, it can happen to me. You see, Peter didn't have the problem that Jesus had. You see, Jesus' real problem was having to have fellowship with sin. His spirit doesn't know sin. And now all of a sudden the sin of the whole world is coming to be upon him. He couldn't bear it. He couldn't handle it. And that was a turmoil that he had. It's not the beating. It's not the beating. It is the contradiction that he was about to experience. But you and I have sin. Oh, we've been there. We've been fellowship. So it is not our fear. It's not fellowship with sin. Peter's concern was his flesh. That was why he chose to die with the swear. Are you here? Yeah, that was why he chose to lie. And I'm saying that what was Peter's problem is also my problem. And that is my flesh. My carnal nature. My unregenerated nature. It's not my spirit. Most of your problems, you know, they are spiritual sins, but they are very high. It's like they are professor level. I mean, most of us, we will never even be a professor. If we can have the flesh sorted out, we will receive Jesus. We will receive the Spirit of Jesus. And we will work the works of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let me read my scripture so that you don't say that I didn't. I was just coming to talk. So Luke chapter 14. This is what Jesus said. Verse 26 now. He says that. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. He said that if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife. The women don't like this portion. And children and brethren and sisters. Yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Let's continue. The screen here is slower. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot. No, may not.
He
said, cannot.
Akasike.
Are you with me?
Lalin.
So we are teaching and explaining to you the steps to the anointing, how you can get the anointing, how the easiest way. And the truth is that the easiest way to have anointing is to belong to an anointed. To be in the house of an anointed person, you will be anointed. Because you will, God will just take the spirit that is upon Moses and put it on you so that you share the burden with him. Some of you, after you have received the spirit of Moses, then you want to build your own house. God didn't give you this. You see, if God were to make you a builder of your own house, he would have to choose you sovereignly, separately. But if he has not chosen you, and you have been walking in the anointing of the house you are born in, then stay in that anointing. You'll be fine. It'll be fine. Oh yes.
Hey.
It'll be fine.
With our words.
Because God has a way of sorting you out. As the Lord has made our prophet write books, we are the ones enjoying it. Said that I can even have a clash of programs. Some people are waiting to just have one program. And I have a clash of programs. For what? Because of me. Because of the books. But you see, the reason why I can enjoy what is in the house is because I'm in the house. And I've stayed in the house. The reason why Mr. Patrick is enjoying what is in the house is because, like he said, it's not him. But because of the house he's in, some people preach, nobody invites them even to the next village. Oh yeah, some people never get invited across the villages. Like let's say you are in this village and there's a pastor in another village next to you and they invite you to come and preach. No. So for you to even take a plane cross countries and come and preach, it's a blessing. But where is it coming from? Is because you stayed in the house and because you walk in the anointing of the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the barrier between you receiving the anointing of the house and enjoying it is your flesh, your carnal nature. And the cross, I said the cross, is the solution. Yes, it is your flesh. But it is the one that is working against your prosperity. Crucify it. I said, crucify it. And you'll be fine. So Jesus said, I'm not saying it. Jesus said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me,
and that day,
cannot be my disciple. Then he goes on to explain.
Go.
He goes, you see, He goes on to explain why he has to choose only those who can bear their cross. Because listen, think about it. Here you have a flesh that is alive, who does not obey God, and who is not subject to God. Are you with me? So if your flesh doesn't obey God, who will your flesh obey? Let me ask you, if your flesh is not obeying God, who do you think your flesh is obeying? As a who is your flesh obeying? Who is your flesh obeying? You agree with me? So why should Jesus take somebody whose flesh is alive? The flesh which doesn't obey Jesus, but obey Satan. Why should Jesus take that person and use the person in what he's doing? I don't know if you understand that. When Jesus knows that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, I don't know if you understand that. Jesus is the one, when he said that he was casting out demons by Beelzebub, then he explained that it cannot be. Because for him to cast out demons by Beelzebub, then it means that Satan is divided against himself. And that kingdom is destined to desolation. So he said it cannot be. And he gave us a principle that a kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. So with this knowledge, why should he choose you, who has a flesh that is alive, that is against Jesus, and involve you in his work? So what if your flesh decides to do the Satan's purposes? Are you understanding why, as long as your flesh is alive, unfortunately Jesus cannot use you? So he was asking a question. Please go back to where I was. I just want to finish. He was asking a question. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him. Or saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Then he gives another example. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able to, and so on and so forth? Or else, why the other is a great one? He sends a delegation and asks condition for peace. So likewise, in other words, Jesus is saying that I'm not a fool. I analyze what I have to do and to assess what I need before I set out to do it. Are you with me? So if you do not forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. Forsaking all includes, and in another place, deny yourself. Deny your carnal nature. The way the carnal nature is, the only solution to the problems of it must be crucified. So listen. How do you know your flesh is crucified? How do you know your flesh is crucified? When it ceases to have a say in what you do, where you go, and where you don't go. As long as your flesh has a voice, dead people don't speak. So when your flesh speaks, I promise you, you may have carried the cross, but you have not used the cross. So can I give you one advice? Always every decision you are taking, ask yourself, is this decision the voice of the flesh or the voice of the spirit? I know you'll be asking, how will I know? Is this decision in alignment with the word of God? Or is in alignment with the way you feel? Not with the word of God. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Don't go too far. Don't be super spiritual. And say, you know, he said the voice of the spirit, the voice of the flesh. I'm going to pray to hear the voice of the flesh. I'm going to pray to hear the voice of the spirit. Listen, it's very simple. The Bible tells us that the flesh will not and cannot obey God. It does not submit to God. And we have God, we know God by His word. So whatever you are doing, you are angry, you are irritated, you are not happy about something, just check, okay, this is how I'm going to respond. I'm going to tell you my peace of mind. Are you with me? Now, which Bible verse tells you to go and tell him your peace of mind? If you find a Bible verse, that's fine. But if you can't find a Bible verse, then you know that it is the voice of your flesh that is speaking, and not the voice of your spirit, or not the voice of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you'll be fine. I mean, as for the voice of your flesh, it will always speak. Even though you are crucifying it daily, after every morning, it resurrects. That's why Paul said, I die daily. You get it? Yeah. Because your flesh, you crucify it in the morning by the afternoon. So every day it must be killed. Are you with me? And I believe that once the flesh is crucified, anointing all the way. I said anointing all the way. Because it is, you see, it is your flesh that will not make you able to relate with the apostle the way you have to relate with him. It's not your spirit. It's your flesh. The carnal nature. Yeah. Because your spirit is subject to God. Your spirit is obedient to God. And therefore, we'll do whatever the word of God says. Yeah. But the barrier between you and your anointing is your flesh. And the way out is the cross. You have to accept that your flesh has no say. It has no say. In every decision, in every situation, in the home, marriage, everything. Reckon your flesh to be dead. You see, consider your flesh to be dead. Dead people don't speak. I said dead people don't speak. So every time you hear the voice of your flesh, you know that it's resurrected, or it has resurrected, and take it to the cross and say, you have to die. You are my flesh, but you have to die. Because your presence will hinder me from receiving the anointing, and the Lord will anoint you. If not for anything, He will anoint you with the anointing of the house. Oh yeah. Because you see, what you need to receive the same spirit is to listen to the voice of the anointed, the words of the anointed, and the spirit entered into me as he spake. You know, when I started, I mean, being a pastor in terms of preaching and everything, I'll take prophets preaching, listen to it and preach it. Exactly. Some people will change the title. I never changed any
title.
I went for it. Now, all our bishops that did that, all our pastors that did that, they all grew into big churches. They all grew into big churches. Big churches. I can tell you, from London to the US, all our pastors that did that and still do that, they grew into big churches. Because you see, as the person speaks, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is not you who speaks, but it's the spirit of your Father in you that speaks. So every time a person starts to minister, you see, every time an anointed person starts to minister, it is the voice of the Holy Spirit that is speaking. And there's a difference between the written word and the spoken word. And as you listen to messages, oh, before you realize you are preaching like
it.
I said, before, without even you realizing, your thoughts, the way you think, the way you think, you'll be like your pastor. Without intentionally doing
it,
because it's a spirit. And wherever your pastor is, wherever your pastor is loved, be loved. Whatever effect your pastor is having, whatever he's doing, you have the same result. Yeah. Don't ask me, how can I prove it? Listen, the only proof I can give you, do it and see. Yeah.
Hey.
And you'll be surprised. You, not surprised, but that's what it is. As you listen to a preacher, you are listening, you are preaching the same message. You don't come with your own revelation. This is where your flesh comes in. Because the only problem, the person who doesn't like or who doesn't see why they must do that, is your flesh. Your spirit doesn't have a problem. If the message he preached is from the Holy Spirit, and your spirit is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, or is a work of the Holy Spirit, why would your spirit reject what is part of it? So your spirit doesn't have a problem preaching the same message. It is your flesh, your ego, your carnal nature that Satan is manipulating, that will tell you that you have to be your own man. You have to be original.
So
be original. Please throw away the concept of original. No, because it doesn't exist. You are not original Adam and Eve. It's Adam and Eve that were original.
Adam
and Eve original. But after that, everybody else is a duplicate. So
what
is the original that you are talking about, my
original
dear? What is the original? Original of what?
Original.
Original of Adam and Eve.
Original
of
Adam and Eve.
Eh? But you see, it's not your spirit that is selling the idea of being original. It's your flesh. Your carnal nature. Let it be dead. And the anointing will be yours. The spirit of God will move to your life. And you will do exploits. You may be an ordinary person doing extraordinary things. Oh yeah.
Hey.
I hope you understand
that.
Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. And talk to the Lord about your flesh. And make a decision that you carry your cross. Make a decision, you carry your cross. I said you carry your cross. Lift up your voice and begin to speak to God. Talk to him. Oh Lord. Oh yes. Your greatest enemy to the anointing is your flesh. And Jesus advises you to kill it. Reckon, consider it to be dead. Decide that from today, My flesh has no voice in what I do, in where I go, in how I serve the Lord. Whenever it attempts to speak, you shut it down. Crucify it. Crucify it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh yes, Lord. My flesh, let it be dead. Give me a song, please. Any song that is appropriate. Thank you.
Anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your voice and begin. And continue to pray. Pray, pray. Speak to God. If you understood what I said, speak to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. To crucify my flesh. Let me be a Paul whose flesh is I die daily. It's the words of Paul. I die daily. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Anointing. Oh, fall on me.
This afternoon, thank you for the seed of your word that has been sown in our hearts. We know by your spirit you supply the power that enables us to crucify our flesh. We are children of faith and we desire the anointing. We are not Gehazi, we are an Elisha, desiring the double spirit that is upon your servant Apostle Lwati, that we may do the works that you have used them to do, that our lives will bear similar testimonies. This is what we desire. We thank you for enabling our flesh to be crucified daily, 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 daily. Let this revelation be at the forefront of our minds, that though it is our flesh, it has to die daily. And may it die daily, that we would receive of you your Holy Spirit, your anointing that will cause us to bear fruit to your glory. Through our lives, many souls shall be saved. Through our lives, many souls shall be established. Where there was darkness, because of our presence, light shall come. Where there was corruption, because of our presence, preservation shall take place. Father, send us wide, send us far. Use our lives. If you can use anything, use our lives for your glory. We thank you that by your spirit you are causing our growth, you are causing our flourishing in your kingdom, you are causing us to be rich towards God in the works of our lives, you are causing us to lay up treasures in heaven. Wherever we find ourselves, every day of our lives shall yield treasures in heaven. Every day of our lives shall bring us richness towards our God. And thank you for your servant that you have given to our lives for our anointing. We receive him with the spirit of humility, with the spirit of total submission. We thank you that he's a treasure to us. As the Israelites said of David, you are our light. He is our light. We thank you. We receive him as such. And we receive the words that he speaks, not as words of man, but as words of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless our lives and let us bring increase to your kingdom. May every seed that is sown in our hearts find itself on a good ground, bringing forth fruit 60-fold and 100-fold. We thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.